Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? You doing okay? Last week, we started a brand new series, and Justin started us off with this question. He asked every single one of us, he said, what if God really existed and you had perfect faith in him? Now, that was a huge question. If God really existed and you had absolute perfect faith in him, that you trusted him completely, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, imagine how different your life would really be. Imagine how different your life would be if you had perfect faith in him. Imagine how when you were in high school or when you were in college or when you got married or when you went to your first job, just all of life, imagine how different your life would be if you completely trusted and had faith in God in every aspect in your life. And you've probably met people that have that type of faith in God, right? You've met these people and you're around them and you try to break them. You share information with them and news with them. Have you seen what's happening in the world? Did you know what the president just tweeted out? Did you see what happened? Did you know? Did you read the newspaper? Did you see what they're building? Did you know what they're doing? I mean, and you try to break these people and they're like, they seem bulletproof, right? Anybody met these people? They just have faith in God where they absolutely just trust God. And if you don't have that type of faith, it can sometimes be frustrating to be around people who do, right? It can sometimes be a little bit frustrating. Something in you is a little bit jealous. It's like you want that kind of faith, don't you? But you're like, man, you know, I'm just not as dumb or naive as you are. It's my IQ's a little bit too high. I'm a little bit too well educated. I just know a little bit too much about what's going on in the world to have this childlike faith. But man, if I did, my life would be a lot more peaceful, wouldn't it? So I want you to imagine with me, if you will, in spite of your knowledge, your education, your big picture thinking, right, your worldview, imagine waking up every morning with this bulletproof confidence in God. And as we open the pages of the Bible, we find that man's problems didn't stem from disobedience, but from trust. That Adam broke trust with God when he trusted the enemy, right? He trusted what the enemy was saying instead of trusting God. And then the Old Testament is this long story of God reestablishing this trust with a group of people, the Israelites, that he's reestablishing through the whole Old Testament. And then the New Testament comes along and it's about God establishing a trust relationship with the rest of the world through Jesus. And Jesus said things like this when he was here on earth. He said, trust me, follow me, put your faith in me. And just like this relationship fell apart because of trust, it can be reestablished because of trust. It can be reestablished because of trust. And once you start that relationship with God, once you step into a relationship with God, he wants to grow big faith in you. He wants to see your faith grow. He doesn't want to see it stay stagnant, but he wants to see your faith grow. And let me tell you something, when your faith starts to grow, it's going to seep into every facet and area of your life, and your life is going to be different. Your relationships, your private life, your view of money, your integrity. As God starts to grow big faith in you, he starts to change your world and the different areas of your life. And God's in the process of wanting to grow that big faith in your life. We ended last week by saying that we believe God uses five things to help grow your faith. These aren't five things that we found in the Bible. These aren't a checklist that if you just do these five things. These are five areas in different ways that God kind of helps to shape and grow your faith. And the first one we're going to be looking at today is practical teaching. The practical teaching to help you apply things to your life, apply what the Word of God is saying. Week two, we're going to look at providential relationships. Relationships. I bet you most of you can say that if you're a Christian in here, most of you can say, man, if it wasn't for him or if it wasn't for her, I don't know where I'd be in my walk with Christ. They helped my faith grow. They helped me grow in my faith. Or personal disciplines. Personal disciplines, things that you do to help grow your relationship with God with nobody else. It's just you and God. The things that you do privately, the things that you do to help grow your relationship, your personal reading, giving. The next one, personal ministry. I can't tell you how many people have stepped out of the pew and stepped into doing ministry, and they said, man, I was nervous. I didn't know what it would look like, but man, it stretched me, and I'm so glad that I stepped into doing ministry. Lance gave a testimony of those three, you know, small group leaders, his adult leaders, getting to baptize students. Can I tell you, they'll never be the same. They'll never be, it's going to change you. When you do ministry and you see things happening in other people's lives, you see God working in people's lives and you were a part of that, and it changes your life. It helps grow your faith. And then the last one we're going to look at is pivotal circumstances. This is the fifth thing. Pivotal circumstances. Things that go on in your life and you go, it could go this way or go that way, but I'm going to trust God. And God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what's happening. But all of a sudden, you look back and you go, whoa, if it wasn't for that situation or that circumstance, I didn't see it then. But that changed the direction of my life, and it actually helped grow my faith. Because as you hear people's testimonies and stories, my bet is that as they talk about how they grew in their faith, one of these five things is a part of it. Maybe multiple things here on this list or a part of it. And the truth is this, that no matter where you are in your faith journey, my hunch is that God is going to continue to use one of these five things in your life until the day that you die. These are the five things that you could fit in and say, these are the things that help grow your faith. And today we're going to talk about the first one on the list, and that's practical teaching. Practical teaching. If you want to tease that out a little bit, really it's practical teaching about God's word. Practical teaching about God's word. I think most people in their life, their Christian walk, and we're talking to Christians here, most people can look back on a time in their life and they can point to a situation or a place. They can point to a small group, a study group, a sermon, a pastor, someone in their life who opened up the word of God and helped them see it in a different way where they could apply what the scriptures were saying, and they left different, right? Man, I don't know what happened, but I went there, and the way they opened up, the way they talked about the scriptures, it was so easy to understand. I didn't just know more, but now I knew what to do with what I knew. That I knew what to do because it was so practical. Guys, this helps our faith grow. This helps our faith grow. Practical teaching isn't just that we know more, but we know what to do with what we've learned. That we actually know what to do with what we've learned. And when you read the Bible through this lens, when you read the Bible through the lens of, God, I need you to show me what to do. Not just, God, what do you want me to know? But God, what do you want me to do with what I know? How do you want me to change my life? How do you want me to change? What do you want me to do? When you read the Bible through this lens, here is something God wants me to do, not just know, your faith grows. Your faith grows. Because as you read the Bible, you start to open it and go, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? It's not just information for you, but that God gave us the word of God so it could help change and shape our lives. And we're going to look at a passage that is very familiar to some of you. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You see, the problem is that when churches have become content with just covering the material, churches have become content with just covering the material. But when Jesus came, listen to this, when Jesus came to the earth and when he taught, he opened the scriptures and he taught application, not just knowledge. And that, because Jesus knew that application is what would change your life. And so in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he's sharing this, right before it, he shares this sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of his most famous sermons. And really, the Sermon on the Mount, it was a big to-do list. That if you want to be a follower of God, if you're a follower of me, of Jesus, if you're a follower, these are the things that you need to do or should be doing. That you should be a little bit different than the world. And Jesus knew that it wasn't about what you know, but what you do that brings change. And I'm not talking about salvation or eternity. Guys, I'm not talking about doing things to earn your way to heaven. That is completely different. We know that we can't do anything to earn our way to heaven, right, because of what God did. But if we think that we don't have to do things to help change us, then we're wrong. If we think that just knowledge helps us change, we're wrong. It's applying the scriptures. And Jesus knew this. He understood this. To sum up the Sermon on the Mount in my own words is this. If you have really big faith, here's what to do. And he gives them this list of things. He talks about all these things. He said things like, if someone offends you, forgive them. If someone asks you to go a mile, go 2 miles. He said, lust is a sin. It's the same as if it was physical, that in your mental thinking, lust is a sin. He says, if someone is in need, give what you can. That if someone is in need, a lot of people want to know a percentage. Well, what's the percentage on that? Like, where does it get? And he just said, if there's a need, you give what you can. Give everything that you can. Give what you can. Give out of the abundance of your heart. Not a checklist to say, oh, I gave exactly what. Give what you can. And so this Sermon on the Mount, he gives this huge list of things that we're supposed to do. And here's the thing. It wasn't, here is a list of things to do to make it to heaven. Now, I want you guys to get this. This is not what the list was. This is not what we're talking about. It wasn't, here's a list of things to do to make it to heaven. It was, if you want to live out your faith in God, here's what it looks like. If you want to live out your faith in God, here's what it looks like. And at the end of the sermon, he sums it up with this little story. And he says this, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, everybody say practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He says, if anyone who hears the words of mine, the sermon that I just gave, the list of things that I just told you to do, the big giant thing that if you want to grow your faith, do these things. If anyone hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, everybody say practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. If you want there to be a difference in your life, if you want God to show up in your world, right? If you want your faith to grow, then you actually have to do these things. And you actually have to do the things that you're learning about in the Word of God. And it's kind of interesting because I think, you know, sometimes we have this mindset of attending church is what makes the difference. These people didn't get to walk away from these talks with Jesus and go, oh man, wasn't Jesus just fantastic today? Oh, I have made it 5 weeks in a row. Five. I haven't missed one time. And I'm pretty sure that he saw me all five times, right? Like they didn't get to say that because in America, I think in the church in general, but really in America, we're in America, I think we've kind of fallen into this trap that we think showing up to church is the difference maker. And we think actually showing up to church is the difference maker. Well, we went to church, well, we went to mass, or we went to service, and we did the deed. We checked it off the box, like we did it, we got up and we went to church. Like somehow church attendance is king. And we had these conversations with God, right? It was like, God, I went to church. How could you let this happen to me? Like, I've been to church. I went to church 3 out of the 4 times in the month, right? Like, how could this happen? How could you let this situation happen to me? I've been so good at attending church. God, if I promise to get back into church, will you? How many of you guys have had that conversation? God, listen, I know I'm in a bad place right now, but if you get me out of this, I'll start attending church again. Like that doesn't matter. And church attendance isn't the difference. And Jesus is like, nope, sorry. You could memorize the entire Bible, but if you don't do any of it, it's not gonna really help you, is it? And you hear people say stuff like this all the time when it comes to their walk with God and their faith journey with God. It says, I understood what the Bible meant and I knew what to do, but then I went out and did it. I started to apply the scripture to my life, and it's like God started to come alive in my life because I started to apply the scriptures and what he was telling me to do. I believed this stuff all my life, but once I started doing it, that's when it changed my life. It's like you hear that story all the time that I grew up in church my whole life and it never really had a difference, but then I started to apply the scriptures and it started to change my life. It's almost like I can see God at work in my life because I was applying what he told me to do. And this is why. This is why is because when your faith, and when I say faith, I mean your obedience. When you're obedient to God, did you know that's a form of faith? Your obedience is showing that you trust what God says to do more than what you know to do, right? That, okay, I'm going to obey God even if I don't understand this, even if I don't get this. It's when your faith or your obedience, when that intersects with God's faithfulness, your faith grows. When your faith intersects with God's faithfulness, when you apply the scriptures to your life and you start to see, that's when you start to see God working in your life. When your faith intersects with God's faithfulness, your faith grows. It changes every area of your life. It's like you're allowing God to do what he needed to do in your life because you're applying the scriptures, you're applying what he told you to do. And really, this can't happen until someone helps you understand how to apply the passages of scripture. But this can't really fully happen until someone comes and says, hey, look, this is where you're at your faith. You're an infant in your faith. I want to teach you. I want to show you how these scriptures are practical, and I want to help you apply them to your life. I don't want to just bring knowledge. I want to help apply them to your life. Do you know it's one thing to understand nutrition? It's another thing to eat healthy, isn't it, right? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? We understand nutrition. It's a little different to actually eat healthy. Exercise is the same. You could buy a membership at a gym. You could get a trainer at the gym. You could do a walkthrough, right? You could even have a walkthrough. You could, at your house, you could buy every DVD on working out. You could have yoga mats lined up. You could even build a room in your house. The kids move out of the house, and it has become your workout room, your gym, right? And you can lay that nice little floor down. You get the dumbbells and the treadmill, and you can get all of the stuff, and people could come over, and they could walk through your house and go, wow, man, you're an expert. You are an expert at working out. And you could be sitting over there eating a Twinkie, and it doesn't matter, right? I mean, it's like, if you want to know something about working out, I'm your guy, right? I haven't applied any of it. It hasn't shaped this body at all. But if you want to know anything, man, let me tell you something. I know all about working out. And Jesus is like, if you want my teachings to change your life, then you actually have to do things. You actually have to do things. And one of the things that grows your faith is when you expose yourself to environments where people teach the word of God, not just about what you need to know, but what you need to do. What you need to do. Here's what to do, and here's how you do it. Someone who is going to inspire you to action. Someone who's going to push you to action when the word of God is open. And Jesus is saying, man, you might as well have stayed home if you don't do something with what I just gave you. You might as well have just stayed home. Being a consistent attender has almost no value. Being someone who just shows up has almost no value. Jesus isn't up in heaven taking attendance, just so you know. He isn't smiling down like, oh, I'm so happy. They made it one out of the four times this month. I'm so proud of them. Look at that check. Look at that. Two times. He's not up in heaven doing that. Jesus isn't up in heaven taking attendance, and we've overvalued being in the room. We've overvalued being in the room. It's obedience that makes the difference in your life. If you want to grow in your faith, then it's actually applying what God told you to do. It's obeying God's word. He said this in verse 25. He said, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. As it had its foundation on the rock. The reason it didn't fall is because, listen, they did the right thing. They did the right thing. They built their house on the rock. They listened and they obeyed. They listen and they obey. You listen and you do. You listen and you do. You listen, you read, you listen, and you do. You listen and you do. If you want to make it through this life and grow, then you have to do something with what you've learned. And I'm not talking about earning favor with God. I'm going to keep saying that, or earning your way to heaven. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying if you want to grow in your faith, then you actually have to apply what you're learning. When your faith intersects with God's faithfulness, your faith grows. When your obedience, when your faith intersects with God's faithfulness, your faith grows. And he goes on to say this, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. It's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. You can have 100% attendance and be a fool. My son, Xander, he's on numbers right now, and he's like, you know, he's in the zillions right now. You can have 100 zillion percent attendance and be a fool. You can have 100% attendance and build your house, your financial house, your dating house, your moral house on the sand. You can build it on the sand if you don't apply what you learn. You can go out and make all sorts of decisions that turn out terrible, and you could go, God, how could you let this happen? Like, I never missed a Sunday. Like, I never missed. Guys, attendance isn't the issue. Knowledge isn't the issue. Obedience is the issue. It's obedience that makes the difference. It's why you apply what you've learned. This is what allows you to build on a firm foundation. When you apply the teachings in the Bible, you take them, you apply them to your life, that's what allows you to build a firm foundation. You have to do something with what you've learned. And then Jesus goes on to say this. He says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. That is, the storms of life come, and they will come. Not a threat, it's just part of life. You go through things that you don't expect. Things come out of nowhere, and let me tell you, if you haven't applied the scriptures to your life and built your life on a firm foundation, when those hard times come and those storms come, it will break you. You will crash. Your house will come down. But if you've applied those scriptures and you've built a firm foundation over the years, when those storms come, you'll stay upright. You'll stay upright. He says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Not as their teachers of the law. You see, the teachers of the law at that time, when they would teach, it was a lot of knowledge-based teaching. It was a lot of, here's what you need to know about the teaching. Here's what you need to know about the words of Isaiah. Here's what you need to know. It was a lot of intricacies to scripture. It was a lot of knowledge-based teachings. And it was like, let me teach you what I know. And Jesus came and said, here's some things to believe, yes. Here's some things to know. But let me tell you what that looks like. He said things like, forgive, love your enemies, pray for people who don't like you, give generously. Don't look at that. Don't go there. Don't spend time around that. That's not healthy. He gave application. And if you want there to be a difference, you can't just listen. You actually have to do it. You got to listen and you got to do. You got to listen and you got to apply what you learn. Because when you do that, you know what that is? When you do that, when you do something because someone asked you to do it and you're not quite sure if that's the right thing, but you're still going to do it, do you know what that is? It's faith. It's faith. That's what faith is. When you look at a situation and you go, God, I don't know if this is the right thing. I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, but I trust you. And I'm going to put my faith in you. That's faith. That I might not understand. It doesn't make sense, but you say it's best, so I'm going to do it. You know, I know a lot of you weren't, some of you are just newly saved, and I was fortunate. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was fortunate to grow up in a home and a church who taught for application, not just knowledge. They taught me to apply things, and I was taught to be obedient to God, not to gain God's acceptance, but because of God's acceptance. And I want you guys to get that. It wasn't that I was obedient to gain acceptance for God. God already accepted me. And that pushed me and allowed me to trust him. If he accepted me the way I was, then I could trust him that what he has and the plans he has for me and the things he's telling me to do are probably best in my life, right? They're probably best in my life. And my parents taught me that my friends would determine the outcome and the direction of my life. So choose wisely. That the people you're around or surround yourself with will impact your faith in God. That the people you choose to be around, and hear me out right now, hear me out. Sometimes we hear this and we're like, don't hang out with people that aren't Christians. And we're like, well, how are you going to introduce Jesus to people, right? But here's the difference, and here's what I learned at an early age. My parents would tell me this. They would say, listen, John, we want you to be around people who aren't saved, but if they're influencing you to go this direction and it's not a healthy direction, then you're not ready for that relationship yet. But if you're the influencer in that relationship, if you're influencing the direction of where those people are going and what's happening, then you're ready for that relationship. You're mature enough for that relationship. And they taught me that. They taught me these values. They taught me at an early age financially to give to God first, to save, and to live on the rest. to give, save, and live on the rest. And can I tell you how much debt and financial problems that has saved me from? I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. And some of you are like, well, you don't know my situation, you don't know my story, and I don't. This is a judgment-free zone. But can I tell you something? That debt is a choice. You choose debt or you don't choose debt. You see, my parents at an early age, they used to teach me. My dad said, okay, this is a credit card. You don't spend the money on the credit card unless you have the money to pay it off. That you don't actually spend money unless you have money. And that's why you can say that debt is a choice. And so that saved me. And do you know where these teachings come from? They didn't just magically make them up. These are in the Word of God. That these teachings are in the Word of God, and that if you actually apply this stuff, it saves you from so much trouble. This is why here at the church, we're all about presenting God's Word in a practical, applicable way. We want to keep it as practical and applicable as possible so that you can understand it and you can apply it. Do you know when we evaluate communicators, and we evaluate communicators on Tuesdays, we go in and we ask a few questions and we're like, was this helpful content? Did this actually help people? Were people, did they leave understanding what to do, or did they leave just going, okay, that was nice, right? Did they leave knowing how to apply what we just said? And one last thing, if you're new here and you're learning about how we do things and our view on ministry, one last thing, you know, there's a place for quiet reflection. There is. There's a place for quiet reflection to feel close to God, to intimate, a peaceful setting where you can just kind of think and sit and listen, and it's very, very peaceful. And sometimes when I meet new people, you know, they're like, man, it didn't even feel like I was at church today. Like, it was their first time and they're used to a different type of service or something a little bit more peaceful or laid back. It's like, I didn't even feel it. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And it's like, well, you know, church is quiet and reflective and peaceful. Can I tell you something? We don't do that very often. We don't do that very often, right? Because anytime someone opens the Word of God and teaches from it, it's not very calm and it's not very quiet. It's not very calm. It's not required. There's a place for that, and we're actually going to be talking about that in a few weeks when Pastor goes over private disciplines. There's a time to be calm and quiet and reflective, but when we gather together and someone is teaching the Word for application, when you have to apply it and someone is challenging you to apply what the Scriptures say, can I tell you, it's uncomfortable sometimes, and it's disturbing sometimes. It's why you argue with us in your head, right? Sometimes we'll be saying something, you're like, you're hitting your spell. I don't know if what he's saying. You know what? That's not true. That's not true. I'm gonna check that out, right? It's why you do that. And in fact, you wouldn't be the first people to do this. When Jesus was here on earth and he taught a sermon, there's a story in John chapter 8 where Jesus gets done teaching, and literally he gets done teaching and he prays in the name of Jesus, or in my name, amen. And he opens his eyes and they're like, yeah, we're going to take you outside and stone you because we don't agree with anything you just said. Like, what? They're going to stone him? There's another time in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, and it actually says this as he's teaching. It says, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. If you get to the end of one of our presentations and you're all worked up and mad, can I tell you something? That we feel like we're being the New Testament church. We feel like we're being the New Testament church, and we're like, yes, right? If you leave worked up, we're like, good, right? We did something right. If you leave bored out of your mind, where you're like driving home, like, well, we were there, Jesus. We endured till the very end, the very, very end of that. Like, is there an extra crown in heaven for everything that we just had to sit through, right? Like, that's not what we want. We don't want that to be the situation here. It says all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They're mad at what Jesus is saying. And it says this, they got up, drove him out of the town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off a cliff. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's a good sermon right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that must have been amazing, amazing sermon. And maybe you're like, but John, I grew up different, right? I grew up different. It wasn't like this, and it's different. And I understand that, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying there isn't a time for calm and quiet and reflective, but somewhere in your life, you need to be exposed to opening this Bible up and someone opening the Bible up and ruffling your feathers a little bit. Someone needs to open it up and challenge you a little bit. And sometimes when it gets opened up, you might even come to a teaching or a sermon and you might even feel guilty a little bit for the way you're living. And it might even be worse. You might even feel, I don't know, ashamed for the way you're living. But can I tell you something? That's okay. Because a little bit of shame now might save you from a whole lot of trouble down the road. And if it needs to be a little shame, can I tell you something? God will push that button as many times as he needs to help shape you and to help grow your faith, right? He'll do whatever he needs. And can I tell you something? Nothing would make me happier than for you to get so mad at something that I said or Pastor Justin said or one of the teachers said. Nothing would make me so happy that you get so mad that you rush home and you open your Bible. I'm going to prove him wrong. Let me tell you something right now. Because let me tell you, if you get mad enough to go read your Bible, then I win, right? It's like, woo. Like, I pushed you to that. That's fantastic. That's what we want. We're okay with that. I don't want to be stoned or thrown off a cliff, right? But I'm okay if you get a little bit mad because obedience is where it's at. Obedience is where it's at. And that's why it's so important to put yourself around practical teaching. That's why it's so important to put yourself around practical teaching. There's a pastor by the name of Lane Jones, and he says this. He said, unapplied truth is like unapplied paint. It doesn't do anyone any good. The value is in the application. Do you know what I'm talking about? You hand somebody a paintbrush, and you hand somebody a paint. You even tape it off for them, right? And you're like, okay, paint your room. You wanted it lime green or something. I have no idea. You wanted your room painted, and then they don't do it. Right? Just because you give them paint and a paintbrush and you've taped it off doesn't mean it's going to do any good if they don't apply the paint themselves. And this is the same when it comes to truth. That when the Word of God is opened up in a practical way, and this is what it says and this is what it says to do, can I tell you something? That unless you apply what it's saying, it does absolutely no good in your life. It is absolutely no good. You still have to apply truth at work, at school, in your relationships with that person that you don't like very much. Because if you don't apply the Word of God to your life and the teachings and the things that he says to do, you're like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. But if you do, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the storms come and the things of life come, that you will be better prepared to handle what's being thrown at you. One of the things that we're doing for this sermon series is we have these little faith challenge cards. And if you'd reach down, you can grab your faith challenge card that was sitting on your seat right there. It's on your seat. And if you look at it, the back of it, it says this. It says, where does knowledge supersede your obedience? We challenge you guys to tape these up to your mirror. How many of you guys taped last week's up to your mirror? Anybody tape it up to your mirror? Yeah. So this week, I'm going to challenge you to do the same thing. Just tape it right under number one, and this will be number two, faith challenge number two. Where does knowledge supersede your obedience? Where does the knowledge of the scriptures where you know what to do, but you're not doing it? You know what to do. You actually have so much knowledge, but you haven't been applying it to your life. The obedience and trusting God isn't there. And so this week, we want you to pray that prayer. God, show me the areas of my life where I actually need to apply what I already know. Show me the areas of life that you, Holy Spirit, show me the areas, the situations, the circumstances. Show me the areas in my heart that I need to apply Scripture because I'm not applying it. I know it, but God, I want my faith to grow. God, I want to see my faith grow. I don't want to stay right here in my faith. I want to continue to grow into someone who trusts you in every situation and every circumstances. What areas in my life do I know what God would have me do, but I'm not doing them? Guys, can we stand and we'll pray and I'll let you guys go. God, we love you so much. We thank you for everything you're doing on the inside of us. God, change and growth, it's hard and it hurts sometimes and it's not always fun. But God, I know that you don't want us to stay stagnant. You don't want us to stay in the same place that we're at. So would you help us grow today? Would you help us to become the people of God that you want us to become? And that happens, God, not accidentally. It happens by applying what your word says, what it tells us to do. So would you challenge each and every one of us? God, what are the areas of life that we actually need to apply the scriptures, where we need to apply it? We don't just need to know it. We don't just need to show up, but we actually need to do it. God, I pray that you give us the strength to do that. Holy Spirit, speak to our lives this week. In your name we pray. Amen. We'll see you guys next week, okay? God bless.